That's Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Well, the people of Wales are often regarded as being a passionate nation. So whether it's passionate about the country, the culture, the history, the language, or our faith. But for many in Wales, their passion is towards sport. And in the last week or so, the football team has been what has stirred the emotions of the Welsh people and not the rugby team. Now, probably the most famous Welsh footballer, may be the most talented at the moment, and also the most expensive footballer, is Gareth Bale. And if we wanted to get to know Gareth Bale, then we could watch him play football. We could listen to him be interviewed after a game. Or we could speak to his family and friends about him. But the best way would be to speak to him, to find out what he is passionate about. What is it in life that he values most? But as good a footballer as Gareth Bale is, and as nice a person as I'm sure he is, getting to know him is not going to change our lives. But the person that we are going to look at tonight is going to change our lives. So we're going to be reminded of how Jesus treated people. We're going to be reminded of what Jesus did. And we're going to be reminded of what Jesus said about himself. For when we look at Jesus, really look at him, it changes everything. If ever there was a person in history who we should spend looking at, it's Jesus. And that's what we're going to do briefly this evening. This passage that we had read to us this evening is probably one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. Because it's a short story, and yet it says so much about the person of Jesus. And so we're going to look at just three kind of headings tonight. Jesus is loving. We're going to look at the way in which he dealt with someone who was very low in society. Secondly, Jesus is God. He claims to be the God of the universe, and he provides proof for that. And then thirdly and finally, Jesus is our greatest desire. Now, we often think that maybe money, power, a husband, a wife, children, health will actually make our lives complete. But this passage actually shows us that actually what we desire, what we truly desire, is to know Jesus and to know him better. So first, let's look at the people that are involved in this story before we go to those kind of three headings. The first group that we see in that passage are a group called the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were the religious leaders of the day. And they were involved kind of specifically in making sure people obeyed the laws in what was then the Old Testament. In fact, they added extra laws. But the key thing to do with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, these religious leaders, they did not love the people. They didn't care for the people. And the reason for that is they did not love God. As long as people obeyed the rules, they were happy. And they wanted people to think that they were the best at obeying these laws, but they weren't. It was all outward appearances. It was all show. Their hearts were far from God. So they decided that they were going to see Jesus in a place called Capernaum. So if you want, that's kind of in the north. They were from Jerusalem in the south. And it was about 120 miles from where they were in Jerusalem up to Capernaum near Nazareth, where Jesus grew up in Galilee. So today, it would be the equivalent of us walking from Cardiff to Bangor in North Wales. A little bit shorter, maybe. And it would take a healthy person back then about 5 days to get there. So it just showed that actually they really wanted to know what was happening with what Jesus was saying and what he was doing. So that's one group. But then there was another group, the crowds. These were people in the surrounding areas. And they had heard lots of things about Jesus. They had heard what he had said. They had heard what he had done. And they were curious. They wanted to see for themselves. Would there be something new that something Jesus would say? Would he do some amazing new miracle? And then there's the third group. And this is kind of the focus of this story. And this is the paralyzed man and his friends. The paralyzed man, he couldn't walk. We're not told why he couldn't walk. But he had to be carried. And so the scene at the beginning of this story is both a very sad and actually a very beautiful scene. It's sad because this man could not walk, which 2,000 years ago in this part of the world meant life was extremely difficult. Because if you did not have family that loved you, that cared for you, or friends that loved and cared for you, you would beg on the streets. And if the reason you can walk caused you lots of pain, you're in big trouble. But it's also a beautiful scene. Because these men, we know there's at least four of them from another passage in Mark, which refers to this story, they're carrying their friend to see Jesus. They'd hear that Jesus was someone very special and someone that God was clearly working through. And so these men clearly loved their friend, someone whose society would have looked down on, and yet they were willing to do anything to help him. And so the first point we're going to look at this evening is Jesus is loving. So imagine the scene. These men are carrying their friend to Jesus. They're very excited, probably telling their friend, wow, you're going to be healed today because we're going to introduce you to Jesus. And then they see the house where Jesus is, and there are massive crowds around. And you can just imagine, kind of, all of a sudden everyone goes quiet, and they don't know what to say to their friend because they can't get him to Jesus. And then someone says, maybe it's the paralyzed man, maybe it's the friends, he says, I've got a plan. And so they carry him up the side of the house, because the way the houses were made then was, yes, you had the entrance to the house and some small windows, but you had some stairs along the side which allowed you access to the roof. And so they carry him to the roof, and then very, very gently, they walk on the roof. And the roof has kind of got these beams going across, and then you've got straw and mud which kind of makes up the roof. Sometimes they're kind of actual proper tiles, the expensive homes were. But most of them had these tiles made of mud. And so they walk very quietly. And then they decide, we've got to do this quickly. Because as soon as we start ripping this roof, the owner's not going to be too happy. So very quickly, they pull these tiles. And they make a hole big enough to lower their friend into it. So that's what's happening outside. But inside the house, imagine what's happening. Jesus is speaking. The Pharisees have the best seats in the house, and then others are kind of standing around. And then, well, put it this way. I have a ground floor flat here in Cardiff, not far from here, and I have a very good neighbor who lives above me. But when she walks around, I can hear her, and that's not unexpected. But imagine this scene, and they're in this house, and all of a sudden the owner of the house hears someone walking on his roof. That's unexpected. And he's looking up. No one else is paying any attention. But then they hear some ripping noises. And then they start looking up. And then maybe some mud is kind of floating down gently. Some dust, they're kind of, you know, kind of throwing it off their clothes. And then a ray of light comes. And then that ray of light gets bigger and bigger. They can see the sky. Okay, something's happening here. Jesus has stopped speaking. And then men are looking into the hole, looking down at everyone. And then very quickly, they're lowering a man down. So you can imagine the Pharisees are feeling a huge disrespect. How dare people do this? Don't they realize that we are here? But the paralyzed man, if you put yourself in his position, he's being very brave. Because he's allowing himself to be lowered into a room full of angry and confused people. He is helpless, and he is being placed literally at the feet of Jesus. Now what they are seeing is a bit of destruction to someone's property and someone who is paralyzed. But Jesus sees something else. We see here in verse 20, Jesus sees their faith. The faith of the paralyzed man and his friends. The faith in the power and the love of Jesus. Now the first words that Jesus speaks to this man is a wonderful word. In the ESV it has man. In the NIV it translates it as friend. And the reason for that is this word man, which is used, actually has this very warm, compassionate element to it. And so straight away he puts the man at ease. You could have imagined that Jesus would be really upset with him and really angry and told him, get rid of him. But Jesus, by saying this word, he's telling to everyone in that room, I'm not angry. I'm very compassionate towards this person. So maybe for us, we often feel that God should be angry towards us. Maybe for our constant failures. Maybe for our constant lack of faith. Maybe for our constant forgetfulness of God's provisions. And yet the Bible constantly tells us that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave us, Jesus. Not that we deserve his love. It is by grace. It is completely and utterly undeserved. Do we realize that we, like this man, every day are at the feet of Jesus, helpless. And yet, every day, we are given blessing after blessing. And so the first point is, we realize that Jesus is loving. The next thing we learn about Jesus is that he claims to be and provides proof that he is the God of the universe. This person who treats this paralyzed man with love, has compassion on him, is the God of things both past, present, and future. So the man is lowered, he's there on the floor, and everyone, except Jesus, everyone is expecting him to say something like, you are healed, please stand up. But he doesn't. This is shocking because you can imagine disappointment on the part of the paralyzed man, on the sense of his friends, on the crowd. Huge disappointment. This is not the way it's meant to go. But what does Jesus say? He says, your sins are forgiven. Now we know this is shocking because of the reaction of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They say that Jesus is actually saying blasphemy. This word blasphemy means you are insulting God. In this case, you are claiming to be God. So to understand this, we need to understand what sin is. Well, the sin is the breaking of God's law. So if we take just two of the two laws which Jesus says are the most important, love the Lord your God with every part of you. And the second is to love your neighbor. Well, who of us here has done that perfectly? But Jesus claims to forgive sins. So if we think of it logically, this is what it is. Only God can forgive sin because the wrong is against him. Jesus claims to forgive sin. Therefore, Jesus is claiming to be God. So when Jesus is saying to this man, your sins are forgiven, he's actually saying, I know what your heart's desire is. I know what you desire more than nearly anything else, and that is to walk. But I'm going to give you something far, far better, even though at the moment you don't realize it. I'm going to forgive your sins, the thing that separates you to God. I'm going to forgive them. Jesus has come to restore this man's relationship with God, not just fix his legs. This is the ultimate healing that this man receives. But the story doesn't end there. Anyone can say that your sins are forgiven. It's quite different to actually be able to do it. Now, the Pharisees didn't want Jesus to be able to forgive sins. That's why they said, this is blasphemy. And Jesus knew what they were thinking. So Jesus kind of says, okay, you want proof, I will give you proof. Jesus uses this title, Son of Man. It's a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, referring to God. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would have known this. And so Jesus does say what the paralyzed man and the crowds were expecting earlier, which is, get up, take your mat, and go home. But again, there's something shocking in this as well. Because in the Bible, when someone heals someone, they would say something like, in the name of God, I heal you. But here Jesus says, I tell you, take your mat and go home. The followers of Jesus later on would say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. But here Jesus is healing the man in his own name. The man stands and is healed. Basically, Jesus is saying, I've now given you proof that you can see with your eyes, to give you proof of things you cannot see. Now, it's very important at this point to realize what the Bible is saying regarding healing. It's not saying that every person who responds in faith to Jesus Christ will be healed. This is not some kind of magic agreement where we trust in Jesus and all our health problems disappear. There are other examples in the Bible of godly people who are not healed. In church history, there are huge amounts of people who are not healed. God does not promise that we will be healed physically. He could, but he does not promise that it will happen every time. What he does promise is help and strength to live the life that we are given, which may include health problems. And there may be many of you here tonight. Joni Erickson Tada is a woman who, when she was a very young girl, she dived into a lake that was not deep enough and she broke her neck. And she ended up being paralyzed from the shoulders down. She's a Christian and she's written many books about coping with disability. And one of the quotes is this one. My weakness, that is my quadriplegia, that's another word for the disability she has, being paralyzed from the shoulders down, is my greatest asset. It is my greatest help, as it were, because it forces me into the arms of Christ every single morning when I get up. This is a woman who knows what it's like to suffer a form of disability. It's an incredible thing. It's very easy to say, it's very difficult to live, and yet she lives this out. The paralyzed man in this story was mainly healed in order to show Jesus' power over illness to those watching, as well as his care and love towards the paralyzed man. We are told to pray for all things, including health problems, but always with the attitude and the will of, this is my request, God. This is where my heart is, but your will and not mine. And then thirdly and finally, Jesus is our greatest desire. Many of us here this evening know with our minds that the best thing in life is for our sins to be forgiven and for our relationship with God to be restored. We know this with our minds, but our hearts actually are saying, I know this, but I really, really want this other thing as well. And in fact, whether it's money, whether it is power, whether it's a husband or a wife, whether it's children, whether it is health, it's tearing me up inside because it's starting to occupy the place that God should be. I pray and nothing changes. I try not to want this thing too much, and yet it seems to occupy my thoughts all the time and therefore my desires. And so what we know with our minds, sometimes it is so difficult for it to then move to our hearts. There is a struggle. But we can't simply ignore it. We can't simply put it on the shelf and think, well, I'm sure it'll go away. What we need to do is to replace this desire with a greater desire. We fix our eyes on Jesus, reminding ourselves of who is the best thing in the universe. The more we dwell on Jesus, the more our hearts are warmed.
to the amazing truth that we are loved and forgiven by the God of the universe. There's a Christian writer who's written many books, including many commentaries that I have found very helpful, called Warren Wiersbe. And he has said this: when you and I hurt deeply, what we really need is not an explanation from God, but a revelation of God. In other words, for him to reveal himself. We need to see how great God is. We need to recover our lost perspective on life. Things get out of proportion when we are suffering. And it takes a vision of something bigger than ourselves to get life's dimensions adjusted again. And so let's look at the reaction of the people to what Jesus did, verses 25 and 26. See if this helped them to see what their greatest desire truly is. And there are three kind of reactions which we can see in these Bible verses. The first is amazement. The people were just amazed at what they heard Jesus say and what he did. This was far greater than they were hoping for. It was beyond their expectations. So they were amazed. Secondly, this word awe, A-W-E, it's kind of part of the word awesome. And so I looked up kind of how do you define awesomeness? Well, three words kind of help. One is respect, fear, and wonder. So the people, as well as wanting to shout for joy, many would have stood back in silence, thinking, who is this person? They were able to see something far greater than they were expecting. And they realized that this person, Jesus, is the greatest person they have ever met. Jesus was claiming to be God. And Jesus had the power to prove it. And then finally, what was the third reaction? Well, the third reaction is praise. As soon as the man was healed, he went away praising God. And the people themselves praised God. You see, when you see something that is truly amazing, you want to praise it. You want other people to know about that. And so, when someone falls in love, they want to praise that person. They'll want to tell their friends how amazing he or she is. If you watch a great film, you'll want to tell other people how amazing that film is. Praising the person or the thing becomes part of the enjoyment of knowing that person or experiencing that event. And here the praise is directed towards God. They realize that what Jesus said and did was from God. It was not blasphemy, as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law thought. The people realized that what Jesus did was from God. In fact, they realized that Jesus is God. Now in life, we want what is best. We want to love and be loved in return. We want to experience the best that the life has to offer. We want to live life to the full. Jesus could see that the greatest need that this paralyzed man has wasn't simply to be able to walk again, although that was very high up on his list. The man's greatest need and our greatest need is to have a relationship with God restored, to have it fixed, and then to enjoy the relationship. How many of you here this evening are struggling to enjoy that relationship? Maybe it's been many years since you first followed Jesus. Life will try to kind of put many pleasurable things into our lives. Many of those things are very good, but they are nothing. They are nothing compared to knowing Jesus and having our relationship with God restored. It is the deepest need that we have, no matter where we are from or what our background is. Nothing else will fill this greatest desire. In order for Jesus to forgive the sins of this man and our sins, he had to pay the price for those sins. Later on, in the book of Luke, Jesus willingly allowed himself to be killed, to be executed on a cross. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. The price was paid. It is finished. Love and justice combined. And so we know from this passage, kind of those kind of three headings, Jesus is loving. He was loving towards this paralyzed man and he healed him. Jesus died for all peoples. Secondly, Jesus is God. He forgave the man's sins. He forgives our sins. Thirdly, Jesus is our greatest desire. This paralyzed man stands before Jesus rejoicing and receiving far more than he ever dreamt. Our greatest desire, our greatest longing is for Jesus. So often we think that if only God would do this for me, or if only I would have this, then life would be sorted. Life would be complete. If only God would give me this one other thing. And yet, God wants to give us far more than that one thing. He wants to give us himself. Now, imagine if whales are able to do the impossible and they win the 2016 European Championship. It would bring so much happiness to the people of Wales and in particular those football players. But what then? What kind of the next week or month or year for those footballers? Would it bring them joy and contentment for the rest of their lives? Would it last? Well, Johnny Wilkinson said the morning after being part of the winning team that won the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup in 2003, he said this: "What now? Why hasn't my life changed hugely? My misguided approach was believing I would wake up and things would be very different." The Bible reminds us that we are loved by the Creator God, who alone can meet our greatest and deepest desires, resulting in amazement, awe, and praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love towards us, ultimately expressed in the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to dwell on you, to fix our eyes on the God of all things, who loves dearly and desires for us to know you more and more each day, through the good times as well as the times of suffering. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.